Well, happy Thursday, and there is not a politician in sight. Can you believe it? Welcome to the real-life edition of Perspectives on WFSU-FM, where every week we get together and talk about things going on in our little neck of the woods and meet some interesting people that are helping make some really good things happen in our area. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for being at the other end of the radio waves. And if you want to communicate with us telephonically, we have some dedicated numbers for you. 414-1234, the local number here in the greater Tallahassee metro. If it's long distance, twixt you and us, it's 800-926-8809. Email perspectives at WFSU.org or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Way, way back in the day, I think this was in the 1920s, when it was the Florida State College for Women, there was a very humble little artist series that the school had on an annual basis, and they would bring in some pretty decent performers, and they'd do their thing, and the students loved it. And occasionally a community member or two would come to the occasion to see the performance, and it was really nice, and it was kind of hometown and very modest, and it was no idea in the minds of the people who organized that what that little event would become when you fast forwarded nearly an entire century later, because we have something now called Opening Nights Performance Arts, which is absolutely phenomenal and has put this town firmly on the cultural map when it comes to a series of internationally acclaimed artists and performers who come to our town to strut their stuff right here on the stages at Florida State University and other venues around town. So we brought in the entire Opening Nights gang, if you will, the folks who organize and keep it on track and are getting ready to kick this whole thing off next month, and it will go through April with just dozens and dozens of phenomenal performances, and you're invited to be a part of the action today. First, let's meet the panel here as we go around. From my right, your left on the radio, we say hi to Calla McNamara, Opening Nights Education and Engagement Manager. And she takes care of the John F. Kennedy Center Partners in Education Collaboration with Leon County Schools and a host of other things. Calla, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Right next door to you is Sarah Howard Bozeman, Opening Nights Marketing and Communications Coordinator, conducting all forms of marketing and communications for Opening Nights and making sure the mean, ugly, nasty media is fed properly. And quite a job there, Sarah.
Yes, it's a very difficult job to be a zookeeper.
And I can tell you are stressed out beyond belief. So.
Yes.
We'll try to keep this hour relatively stress-free for you. Right next door to you, Bethany Atwell, Opening Nights Artistic and Administrative Coordinator, overseeing operations for Opening Nights, also acting as the hospitality liaison for our performing artists. This is the woman with the dirt on the stars. Bethany, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
An old friend of ours also pops in, having been with the organization now for, about a year, I guess, Kellyanne Fasano, Opening Nights Development Officer, working under both Opening Nights and the FSU Foundation to raise funds for Opening Nights performances and programs and endowments. And if she comes by and asks you for money, you will give, because she has one of the most attractive personas that I have ever encountered. Good to see you, Kellyanne.
Good to see you too, Tom.
Okay. And keeping the whole circus on track, as it were, is right next to you, Christopher Hecox, Opening Nights Performing Arts Director. Fifth season as director of Opening Nights, and you're kind of the guy who's driving this bus.
Yeah, I'm started my fifth year August 1st.
My God, that just time really flies.
It does.
I tell you.
Absolutely. I think this is maybe the fifth time we've done this as well.
I think so. It's become a tradition around these parts. But something that isn't traditional, because it changes from year to year, is the terrific lineup. And let's just hit some of the highlights, and we will go a bit deeper into the actual layout of the whole performing arts schedule as we go through the program today. You got some absolutely intergalactic superstars on the lineup for this year, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. We really work very diligently to get as many artists as we possibly can to reach the masses here in Tallahassee. We really want there to be something that everyone wants to go to. So that could go from stars like Smokey Robinson doing two shows here in Tallahassee, or Lily Tomlin, or, you know, the dance company Twyla Tharp, all the way to a singer-songwriter like Joe Pug, who we'll have here in October.
Okay, there's jazz, there's blues, there's classical. Virtually every genre of music is represented. There is dance. There's also, I mean, you know, some more esoteric type things. You've got world performers, everything in here.
Yeah, we really, again, try to do our best to get a cross-section of the performing arts all the way, you know, theater, dance, film, spoken word, comedians, whatever we can get, what people want to hear, what they want to see. We do our absolute best to be able to bring it here to the capital city.
Now, it takes a lot to get this sort of thing organized, and it has to when you're dealing with talent in the upper echelons of the industry, people like Smokey Robinson and Lily Tomlin and the Twyla Tharp Dance Company and all of that. How far in advance, and let me throw this to you, Calla McNamara, if I can.
Sure.
How far in advance do you have to get up with these people? Because their schedules have to be insane.
Isn't it like years? Mm-hmm. Year or two?
Yeah, we work about a year or two in advance always.
Okay.
And our 20th next year. We're already working on that.
What kind of reputation do we have? Because if you're up against, say, there's a conflict maybe even in – they could do the Kennedy Center or they can do Tallahassee, Florida. You know, do you have to bring in special you know, persuasion to say, look, you guys need to be part of our lineup because –
I think that's a better Chris question.
My answer to that would be they can play both. Like Wayne Shorter this year is playing at the Kennedy Center doing this program in November, and then he's playing in Tallahassee in April. Same thing with Anne-Sophie Mutter. Anne-Sophie Mutter is playing in D.C. in, I believe, April or March, and she's also playing here in Tallahassee. So what we really are trying to do is to bring the artists that are playing in those markets – that that our community would have to travel great distances to see and actually bring them here to the capital city. So there might be only one performance in the whole state, maybe two, and we're actually one of them that's doing it.
Yeah, because in other iterations of performance arts, Tallahassee was always sort of like a way station. If you had artists who were coming through, say, southeastern swing down through Atlanta, they were headed for Tampa. If they had a night off or two, maybe they could hit up Tallahassee for a performance. And that's been kind of traditional. Is it sort of like that?
Well, it's not really like that as much anymore. It's more I think the way that you were saying, yes, it was like, well, let's get another date and possibly get a date in Tallahassee. Now it's let's start the tour in Tallahassee and move it through the state. So those are the conversations that have changed within the last 5 years as opposed to being a stop but being somewhere where we're starting. So like with Twyla Tharp's company, Twyla Tharp's company is – the tour is starting here in Tallahassee and then moving its way down. There are a number of other things. The Richard Thompson Blind Boys, same thing. It's starting here. It's moving down. So again, you know, it's just putting season after season together. You know, and showing the kind of the world of the performing arts that we're able to support seasons like this because we have amazing audiences here in Tallahassee, that we're year after year being able to bring artists like this here to the community.
Well, that's a reputation that has grown, as you said, Chris, within the artistic community. It makes it a little bit easier to get artists of this level to come to us. But when it comes to maybe getting the word out, and Sarah, let me throw this to you, since I don't want to say we're jaded after all these years, but you do have a lot of local media folks I know. We get excited about opening nights here, and I talk to some of my friends in commercial radio, TV, or whatever, and they go, oh, yeah, okay, opening night's big deal. It's back again. What else is new? Do you have to overcome that locally?
A little bit. I think we're really blessed to have good local partners who help us get the word out. I think the fact that we have as diverse of a season year after year, this season we were saying is definitely our most diverse yet. So the fact that we keep our content that interesting means there's not a lot of getting bogged down and having a difficult time. And our local community is who turns out the most. Those are the majority of our patrons are from Tallahassee and the surrounding region, but we also have people coming from Key West, from out of state. We had someone come from Europe last year to come to a performance that we were doing in Tallahassee. So our reputation precedes itself. So
It's a little bit more difficult, though, that now we have gone to, instead of the old 7 days of opening nights, when literally that's what it was, to now you start in September, you're going straight through beyond the midpoint of April. That's a long time and a lot of tickets if you really want to catch a whole bunch of these performances here. Does that make it more logistically difficult to get people in because you've got to keep the public attention on a longer span of time than you used to?
Well, I think we balance it very well because when we start in the fall, we make sure that we're doing shows that might not always be in the biggest venue. So we'll do smaller shows, some of our shows at Goodwood, shows at Opperman Music Hall. So we're not having to sell maybe 1,200 tickets, but maybe 250 or 400, 500, something like that. But still keeping, you know, that season feel together and bringing artists that are relevant to our community. So we really try to we're very, very deliberate about how we put the season together based on the kind of ebb and flow of our community as well and the campus.
All right. One other thing I want to focus on is because folks are going well beyond the headliners we just talked about at the outset of the program. You have the opening night's guide, which is a phenomenal paper publication. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are actually paper publications that are still being made. Not everything is online, although this certainly is online as well as in a hard format here, but the 2016-2017 season edition of the opening night's lineup is something that would not look out of place on anybody's coffee table right next to the pictorial history of Tallahassee or the gardens of Goodwood or some of these other books that we may have on there. And we want to talk about that, too. How do you get a hold of this in case you, yeah, you want to do the online thing, but you also want to have something you can really hold in your hand and go, oh, wow, look at this, look at this.
You can do that by giving me a call, 850-645-0542, or by emailing me at Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, period, Bozeman, B-O-Z-E-M-A-N, at fsu.edu, and I will get you a copy in the mail.
Okay, because I noticed there were a whole bunch floating around the station today. I was wondering how that happens. We are talking to the powers that be with opening nights here on WFSU-FM's Perspectives, and your participation is always as welcome at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, and we'll be right back. We're back on Perspectives, the traditional format, not the political kind, although there will be a return to that as we head into the general election. So fear not, the return of our candidates will be taking place, and I don't know, about a month or so, something like that. We're talking, though, about opening nights today, which will kick off. Let's see, tickets are available as of September 14th, I believe.
Correct.
Yes. Okay, so don't delay. Get yours today. And you can also, if you're challenged with the Google, you can just go to Florida State University's homepage and click through a couple of connections, and you'll get to it there. But we'll tell you a more direct method here in just a little bit. Let's go to the phones. Mary is awaiting on line one. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm a student at Taos Thomas College, and I would love to attend opening night. Do you have discounts for students?
Aha, discounts for students. Bethany.
We do. We have $15 tickets for students that will become available on September 14th.
Wonderful. And now there are, of course, ramped, I guess, tiers of ticket prices here. You're not going to see Smokey Robinson for $15, right?
Well, we actually do allocate a specific number for every show for students. And one of the things, because we are a community-based organization based out of Florida State University, we don't just offer student tickets to FSU students. The student tickets are for any student with a valid student ID in our community. So someone at Thomas College, if they want to get tickets, if they're available, they are limited. But if they're available, then they can get them.
Okay. There's also something else that you have, which is membership. Now, let's talk about that because it's not just a – a la carte ticketed event. You can also participate through Kellyanne Fasano, a membership.
And absolutely.
That can range from, what, $125 up to $2,500 if you really, you know, want to be really wild and crazy about this whole thing.
What membership gets you is access early to performances. So you can go on and purchase the tickets that you want at the price that you want. So you can have your best seat in the house. You have a favorite seat you like to sit in. You want to make sure to get in there early and make sure to get that ticket to Smokey Robinson or Lily Tomlin. And we also include things like parking passes, drink tickets, things that really make the show really enjoyable and create a nice night out.
Almost kind of sort of like, not quite, but pretty close to full access backstage pass type thingy there, right?
Sometimes, depending on
depending on how much you give,
yes.
It might happen.
Yes.
And again, it's all tax deductible.
Okay. Yes. Well, the backstage thing really, really intrigues me, having worked with a number of artists over the years and been kind of on the periphery of performance stuff, playing in bands and stuff. And I'll tell you, Bethany Atwell, I am really, really fascinated on some of the backdoor things that may happen with some of the artists. We are not talking here old-time 1970s slash-and-burn rock and rollers in most instances, although you do have some contemporary music that is always a part of opening nights and all that. But any weirdness that has taken place backstage that you would care to divulge at this point with some artists, or just some really unusual things like what they want in their dressing room or something like
sure.
that?
Sure. We have anything from specific candles to flowers to specific types of food. Probably one of my favorite clauses was last year, one of our artists wanted to have a friendly puppy backstage to pet. So that was – and we accommodated. So that was kind of fun.
And how did we accommodate, Bethany?
It was my dog. He's a Pomeranian, so it was
oh, okay. It wasn't like you went to the animal service center. It said to Erica Leckington, you know, hey, you got any cute puppies out here? But that's what – do any of the artists throw in – and we call them the blue M&M clause, little things into the performance mm-hmm. contract just to see if it's being read?
Yes. We had one this year, actually. Somebody wants a Tesla, and usually when they'll list things they want, it'll be, you know, by section. So it might be in their hospitality section, but they actually threw it in their production section, kind of just in the middle of a list. So to make sure you're actually going through the whole thing with a fine-tooth comb.
And how do you react to that? You call them up and you go, really?
First, yes. And then we get it for them.
Yes.
Within reason.
Yeah. I was going to say, where's the Tesla dealership in Tallahassee? I don't know. I'm sure we
Well, have. we are the capital city, and we might have connections to Teslas. That's all I'm going to say.
I will add one more this year that we had was someone requesting a non-haunted hotel room. So
non-haunted.
Yeah, no history of
paranormal activity.
Did you find any hotels in Tallahassee with no history?
We're an old town, so I would say for the new hotels who are potentially going to build, they should probably highlight that on their website that they're not haunted.
Yeah. Because I vividly recall that this was back before it became the reconstructed and new and improved Hotel Duval, but there was an elevator in the old Duval that used to take off on itself in the middle of the night on occasion and go up and down and up and down and search out different floors for no apparent reason. Just saying. Now, opening nights is also not just an entertainment, but it has an education component. And Callan McNamara, talk about that, how you guys team up with like Leon County Schools and all that to get more kids involved in this.
Yes, we do a lot of education programs. One of them this year we are doing MIPSO is going to be touring a bunch of Leon County schools. So we're trying to target schools that probably otherwise wouldn't able to have these kids have these experiences. We work with the Kennedy Center to bring professional development to Leon County school teachers. We do master classes on campus. You know, giving FSU students and pretty much anybody in the community who wants to attend an opportunity to like study under the artists that we are bringing in.
Boy, that is – you're right. That's something that you just do not see every day in a public school setting where you have a world-class artist come in and say, hey, guys, what's happening?
We're learning today. It's going to be fun.
This is I'm just looking again through here. We have Branford Marsalis Quartet, Kurt Elling. How did this happen? God, that is a lineup. Lily Tomlin, who is having an incredible revival right now. She's appearing in first-run motion pictures all over the place and has gone well beyond the old laughing days. Some of us are actually old enough to remember that, Chris Hecox.
I remember, yes. On Nickelodeon, but I remember. Nick at Night.
Taj Express. Let's see. Patti LuPone, for crying out loud. Yep. That was a major get for you guys.
Yeah, we're very excited because, again, like Calla was saying, Patti is actually going to come in a day early and work with our BFA music theater students that are housed at the School of Theater in the College of Music and doing 6 master classes the day before her performance, which is a huge, huge, big deal. She doesn't typically do that very often. And also the fact that our students are going to be able to interact with her. And these are the ones that are going on Broadway. You know, we have those students every year graduate, go on Broadway or go on a tour. And so to be able to have that experience with Patti, I think is going to be could be life-changing for a lot of them.
Yeah, the other aspect of this that a lot of folks don't realize is with the demise of the old Tallahassee Film Festival, even though we got a great one up in Thomasville, that is very cool too. But you've got the South Arts Southern Circuit Film Tour that is going to be a part and parcel of opening nights this year. So there will actually be cinematic offerings as well as on stage live kinds of offerings too. Let's talk a little bit about that.
So Calla and I, this is Sarah, went to Atlanta this summer and got to hand select these films that are with the Southern Circuit Film Tour. So it's a great organization in Atlanta. We're on a circuit with several other Florida universities. We've got a great mix of documentaries and fiction films. It's a great opportunity to just kind of try out a film for a relatively cheap price. And it's at the Student Life Cinema on campus. So it's a great venue. And then we also have a movie you haven't seen that we do with the film school as well every year.
Oh, wow. Any preview you can give us on that, Sarah?
Can't even tell you what it is yet. That's,
you haven't seen it.
We haven't seen it ourselves yet.
It might not even been made yet. We don't know.
And all Southern Circuit films are free to FSU students.
Yes.
All students.
Yeah, which is a big deal. And the great thing about the Southern Circuit also is that the filmmaker comes with the performance. So when they have time with the circuit, they'll work with our students either in the film school or in the College of Communications, and then always do a post-show Q&A with the audience, which is amazing. I mean, we've gotten a lot of good feedback. Oh, and one more movie too. I mean, we're doing Birdman Live. I mean, Antonio Sanchez, the drummer, who is very, very well known for playing with Pat Metheny Group, his own group as well. And he wrote the score to Birdman, and we're very, very fortunate to be able to bring him here and actually do two showings, of Birdman with him playing the score live in person.
I have a feeling that every drummer and percussionist within about 190-mile radius is going to be just...
Well, I think even more than that because we're the only show in the state of Florida showing of that this year, and Antonio is just amazing. And to be able to do this live is just going to be a really cool thing. And one of the things, again, because of the breadth of this university, you know, we got an email a couple of days ago from a PhD student in the College of Music for music theory that's actually writing a thesis on the film score, Antonio's film score for Birdman, and reached out to us, you know, and wants to be able to spend some time with him to talk to him. And of course, that's what we're here for. We're making those connections for not only those that are on our campus, but off campus as well. So we're really excited that that's going to be a part of it too.
Well, I would suspect that given the incredible firepower behind this lineup that Opening Nights brings every year, even though some folks may look at the individual ticket prices and say, oh, gosh, that's a little bit, but it's you go into any major metropolitan area, and this is a bargain.
Yeah, it really is.
Huge bargain.
And again, you know, the reason why we fundraise as much as we do with memberships and sponsorships is so we can keep the cost down for our community. And those donations, those annual gifts that people give to us really are the backbone of why we can bring these artists here to do the work that they do in our community.
Kellyanne Fasano, what kind of feedback do you get from the community on this? Because everyone has their hand out. I mean, we are a town of nonprofits for sure, and lots of worthy causes, but you go around and say, here is opening nights and what we do and why we do it, and you need to get behind this. How easy is that nowadays?
It's not too hard. People love opening nights. People are excited when the lineup comes out. And I've found that companies and individuals in this town want to be affiliated with what we do. They want to bring clients to performances. They want to gain access to some of our bigger stars and our smaller stars. They love the different venues we have. They love that we partner with Florida State. They love coming back to campus. The reception has overall been incredible from the community. And I think it's something that and we just saw this last week with our season announcement party. People are dying to be where we are. They're dying to come to events. They're excited about the big things, and they're excited about the small things too, the unique performances that we're bringing to town.
Yeah, because you can't find this really anywhere else. We have many artistic festivals and cultural celebrations in this mm-hmm. town. We are becoming really a regional hotbed for all of this sort of thing, but there are few, if any, other comparable kinds of happenings that are on the par with opening nights. So you're talking world class here.
Absolutely.
Some of our most popular events last year were the events that we had as a part of the Director's Choice series. So Chris won't say this about himself, so we get to brag about him for a minute. But Chris really is a major part of the reason why we're booking such great acts, is because we half the time we don't even have to go to agents. They come to us clamoring because of their relationship with Chris. And so the Director's Choice performances are some of the most unique, some of the ones that you absolutely wouldn't get to see unless you were going to Washington, D.C. or L.A. or New York. And Chris is the one putting those together. So if there's anything out of all of the performances this year that I can highlight and suggest, it's the Director's Choice performances.
And I go and see these. I mean, they're highly curated, meaning, 9 times out of 10, something's in the book. I've seen it already, or someone in our staff has as well, like, you know, Calla and Sarah going and selecting these movies. But, you know, we're not just taking a catalog or taking a phone call from an agent and booking it. I mean, these are shows that we have gone and seen, we have vetted, and they're very highly curated for our community.
Well, yeah, but you also have to have the clout, again, to go to these folks and say, you know, yeah, I know what your schedule looks like over the next couple of years. I've done my homework on this, but here is when you need to be in Tallahassee, Florida, and take part in this. And 5 years ago, you were saying sometimes you have to overcome a lot of resistance. Mm-hmm. I suspect that resistance level has decreased.
It has decreased, since, yes, but it takes a lot of hard work, but it also takes a community that will support what we're bringing here. That's really the big key, and our community has stepped up to the plate. So it's a great relationship, let's just put it that way.
And the assent of nods around the table here, so it would seem to indicate, Mr. Hecox, you'd be too modest, sir. We want to invite you to be a part of the action here as we talk about opening nights, and the tickets go on sale September 14th, and the performances continue through April 19th at multiple venues throughout the greater Tallahassee area. Our guests, opening nights performing arts director Chris Hecox, Bethany Atwell, opening nights artistic and administrative coordinator, Sarah Howard-Bozeman, opening nights marketing and communications coordinator, Kellyanne Fasano, opening nights development officer, and Calla McNamara, opening nights education and engagement manager. And your participation too at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. A reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to that location, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and then click Perspectives, because we archive past shows, try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs, so that you and also our guests can go back and listen to it again and again and again and say, I should have said that and I should not have said that. Something else that is kind of intriguing to me is, how easy is it to get artists in and out of Tallahassee if they have to use our wonderful international airport? This has nothing to do with the meltdown that poor Delta had earlier this week. But that's got to be a challenge, too, for you guys to work around.
You know, Tom, it is, and it's you know, I try not to talk politics, especially this, but I will have to say that the two things that are the most challenging about bringing these artists to Tallahassee are the airport and the fact that we have wonderful hotels, but we don't have a 5-star hotel like a Four Seasons or a Ritz-Carlton, not to endorse those, but those are the quality that many of the artists require when they are in New York, D.C., Boston, L.A., et cetera. So we've been able to overcome those, but we're growing, and the demand for those types of things are growing in our community as well, not just with us. So I think that, Tallahassee is stepping up to that. But I would say that those are probably our two biggest challenges when it comes to transportation.
Has that ever been a deal breaker for an artist?
It almost was this year for two.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, let's see. Who do we talk to? Okay, we got to get a hold of the folks with
we've
community
talked to
redevelopment, a whole bunch of others. Yeah, we'll get the city
but,
county.
But community. Like I said, it was almost a deal breaker, but it wasn't.
So. Okay. We charmed him.
He made it
yes,
work.
We made it work.
Well, I can see with the crew that you have, Chris, that perhaps we could overcome many such objections when it comes to.
But I will say, I mean, the airport thing, the issue with the airport is that, you know, most of the artists, you know, that we hope at least that they're routed. So if they're on a tour bus or something, that's not really an issue. But with certain artists that may not do as many performances that are flying and are used to flying direct, that has been a challenge.
I can think because of a number of top tours that they will only do direct flights.
Any market in Florida, it's not an issue except for the two universities.
Of course. Opening nights we're talking about on Perspectives. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809. That will get you a direct flight right into the studio to talk to our guests who are the movers and shakers of opening nights. More to come right here on Perspectives. Checking out the lineup here of opening nights, Ragamella Dance Company, Room Full of Teeth, Mipso, Birdman Live, Joe Pug, Joey Alexander Trio for you jazzers there, Annie. This is the real Annie, by the way. Hot Sardines, Branford Marsalis Quartet, Tom Segura, Nora Jane Struthers in the Party Line. Lily Tomlin, Smokey Robinson, Taj Express, etc., etc., etc. That is just a portion of the lineup that is going on for opening nights. And even though we mentioned here on Perspectives a few moments ago that September 14th is actually the open to everyone ticket availability, I believe if you are a member, you can get tickets now.
Yes. Yeah, you can. We have started going on sale to our producer circle level members on Wednesday. And so that's our highest level. So each Wednesday following, another level of membership will be able to start purchasing tickets in advance.
Now, this is the old American Express adage that membership has its privileges,
it
right?
It does. Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. You get to talk to me about all the shows you want to see. It's super great.
And that is Bethany. So call up and ask for Bethany.
Ask for Bethany.
She will set you right up,
yep,
boy.
I'll get you those tickets.
Has that worked, though, the increase in membership, providing a good, solid financial floor for this whole enterprise? Is that – Kellyanne, what?
Absolutely. Our sponsorships are great. Our memberships are coming in. We're expecting more memberships this year than before. And I think that's a testament to not only the lineup but the service that we provide and our concierge ticketing and just making sure you're getting the experience that you think you're getting for the show and also talking to people about what the show's like, especially some of our more unique shows, and talking to people about what they can expect and something new to try.
Okay. One thing that we've been also talking about for many, many years and some of the folks around this table may have even heard this from some of their colleagues at one point or another, the infamous nothing to do around Tallahassee, or that Florida's capital city is such a cultural backwater that you can't get first-line performances. You have to go to Atlanta or Chicago or New York or L.A. or metros of that size in order to see, hear, and enjoy spectacular performances. And this is, again, Chris Ekos, one of the things that is turning that perception around to the point where now I hear millennials going, wow, there's a lot going on in this town.
Yeah, and I think that the more that we bring to town, the more that it feeds everyone else's success too. I mean, I think with us selling shows out, it shows that this community will support shows, and then you see other shows going in the different amphitheaters. You see shows going in other venues. You see other venues popping up around town where there's availability for not only touring artists but local musicians. I mean, I think that in the last couple of years, probably within the last year, actually, we've seen more and more of those opportunities appear. And I think that what we're all doing in the cultural community from a presenting standpoint is really feeding that need. And then also the fact that millennials want to go out, not just millennials, but millennials are a part of the fact that they want to go out and experience these performances. It's just been fantastic.
We're going back to the phones, and George is waiting on line one. Thanks for calling Perspectives. George, welcome.
Thank you. I was just wondering, you mentioned somebody wanting a Tesla, correct?
Yeah.
Is this a request line for a particular artist, or could this be a request line for what someone would want for themselves, like, quote-unquote, being discovered, having a studio session, eventually leading maybe up to opening nights. My former brother-in-law, Hal Ketchum, some of you may know him. He played at the Moon, for example, and I think I'm a pretty good singer-songwriter, but I'm not that much of a guitarist, bassist, drummer, etc.
Well, this is an interesting question to pose because it gets into, again, the artist selection, and there are opportunities for folks to get onto the lineup of opening nights, maybe not purely local. There are some other venues open for that. But is there like any – and I think this is what George was indicating. Mm-hmm. Is there any pathway? How do you follow that to get to
That's a good question. I think that our mission is to present international and nationally recognized artists on our series. I think there are other – organizations in town that present local musicians and so forth. But, we've had people from Tallahassee that have made it that have come on our series. We've had people from Florida State University that have graduated and then have come back and performed. So, the paths are all over the place. And sometimes we don't even know the paths until they're here, because they might be on a show or something like that. Yeah, I mean, I think Callow could speak to Vocalocity, which is one of the things that we're doing this year.
Yes, they are giving away opportunity for a local a cappella group to be their opening act. So that's really exciting that people can be on like a main stage with like these people who travel nationally.
Yeah, Florida State University had three of the top a cappella groups in the country, and I think we still have Acabells and Reverb and Midnight Yahtzee.
All Night Yahtzee.
Yeah, and they're still together too. And some of those folks have gone viral and actually have reached an international audience. So
absolutely. Well, the other thing is too is like with our performance with Wayne Shorter in April. 11 students from the College of Music who are in the Chamber Winds group, conducted by Rick Cleary, will be performing with the Wayne Shorter Quartet. So there are opportunities. We try to find opportunities when they arise, and then we go from there.
Okay. And Bethany, do you ever have locals that are trying to sneak backstage and say, all I got to do is just, if I could talk to Smokey Robinson for 5 seconds, I know that he'd hook me up in the industry.
Yes, we do have people trying to sneak backstage. We have security to handle that.
Yeah, just know that FSUPD is backstage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we take that very seriously.
And we have delivered a love note before. We have done that. So, you know, no stone unturned for these big fans.
Yes.
Yeah, but I can't imagine, you know, there you are in like Opperman Music Hall or Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. You know, people are throwing like underwear on the stage. That I don't think we've – have we
well,
gotten to that?
Well, yes. We've gotten to the groupies. We have gotten to the groupie
yeah,
stage.
Yeah,
when we had two cellos here last year, there were two women who tour the world and go to every show of theirs. And two cellos, I think, had already performed maybe four or five shows in Florida. We might have been their last stop or one of their last stops in Florida. And they had been to every Florida stop and were there at the performance here in Tallahassee as
You're
well.
You're kidding.
No. I don't think I love anything that much.
My passion.
So groupies operate at all levels of the performance arts, right?
Oh, yes.
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 Well, our own Dan McDonald told me in one of our conversations, he's a classical music guy from over there on 91.5. Our sister station, and he was saying that the young Mozart had a real problem because he had an entourage of sometimes very aggressive young women who would follow him around when he was doing performances, even in places like churches. So I guess there's
yeah, it's those classical musicians. We don't know why, but that's
the ones that we have to look out for. That's the groupie list. That's when we get the FBI reports.
Well, I was wondering. Okay, not mentioning any names. All right, we will not go into possible litigious territory here, but have. Any of the artists that have come into you guys' knowledge ever, you know, precipitated like an investigation or a police report or
yes.
anything? Like really?
Yes. Annually, we have artists that have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. And do you guys have to bail them out of the Leon County Jail or what?
No. It's usually the other end. It's not the artist so much as the groupie.
Oh.
Yeah. Not the artist.
Yeah.
But our artists are usually well-behaved.
Yeah, right? I've only had – and I'm going to knock on wood right now. And there are people that are listening that know the story, and I'm not going to tell the story. I've only had, knock on wood, one issue with someone getting out of hand in the community. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Just leave it at that.
Yeah. And I will say most of our artists are really wonderful people. Like, you know, I work with them all backstage. They're really nice people, very friendly, you know, and easy to work with, great with our stage crew. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if anyone who has been involved in any kind of performance arts knows that it can be boring, it can be arduous, it can be mind-numbingly repetitive going from place to place, show to show, and all those stories about Keith Moon driving the Lincoln Continental into the hotel swimming pool, that is certainly the exception rather than the rule when it comes to this stuff.
Absolutely.
At least we hope so. We have not yet gotten into the other online resources when it comes to finding out everything that you need to know about opening nights beyond this incredibly handsome seasonal program that is available in hard copy. So if we want to go online to get the whole lineup and all of the other information, what do we need to do?
I would go to openingnights.fsu.edu. That's our website where we have everything. We have links to performers' websites and YouTube pages if you want to check them out, kind of get a preview. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're on eventually some new site that we'll have to join. We're not on Snapchat yet, I will say. I refuse. But but our username for all of those is Opening Nights.
It's Opening Nights. All right.
Yeah. And I do want to mention this too, Tom, because you were talking about the worldwide kind of footprint of Opening Nights. When we announced the season on last Tuesday, I guess it was, and we pulled our Google Analytics, we had we had site views from 44 states actually in the United States the day that we went on sale. So again, unless we have Tallahasseeans that were traveling to 44 states on that day and checking us out, it really, when we make the announcement, it really does go, if not worldwide, but definitely in the U.S., it takes notice of what we're doing here in the capital city.
Well, the folks with things like Word of South, Southern Shakespeare, all of those, they've kind of crunched the numbers and done the metrics on visitation and all. What guesstimate do you have, Chris, of what impact this has on the
community? Don't have a guesstimate. I mean, we study our ticket data every single year and know that between 15 and 20% of our ticket buyers come from outside of the Tallahassee-Leon County area. And it's not just like a surrounding county. I mean, like Sarah had said, I mean, we've had people travel from Europe to come to shows, all over the state of Florida to come to see things because, again, we might be the only one doing a show in the state, if not the region. A lot, but mostly our footprint when it comes to people from out of Tallahassee is the Carolinas, Alabama, Louisiana, Georgia, and then the rest of the state of Florida.
And normally, since these are predominantly evening events, there is likely at least one night of a hotel stay.
Absolutely. And one of the cool things, too, is, you know, we have a number of people, and they tell us this, that we'll have friends come in, especially in February when we're doing shows back-to-back. We'll come into town and either stay with them or stay in a hotel for a number of days to catch up, and they, like, have their vacation during that time so they can come and hang out during the day with their friends and then see shows for maybe 3 or 4 days.
Even though we may have things pretty well locked down as far as educational outreach and coordination may be concerned, Calla, if anyone, and I'm thinking later on today, we actually have a ribbon cutting for a relocated charter school. The arts and sciences folks are going into the old Dillard's property out there in the center of Tallahassee. If I'm associated with the school and I want to partner with Opening Nights on anything, are you the contact person?
Yes. Please call me or email me. I'm open to new things. I'm trying to, you know, crank it up this year, get new things going on. And we really are open to suggestions, especially if there's a school that has a project that they haven't been able to get off the ground that we can assist with. That would be ideal and great for both of us. So you can call me at 850-644-2469. That is my direct line.
Okay. And as far as you're concerned, Sarah Bozeman, if anyone in the media or otherwise has very specific questions about things, are you also a contact person for that sort
no.
of thing?
Just kidding. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And my direct office line is 850-645-0542. And my email address is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, period, Bozeman, B-O-Z-E-M-A-N, at fsu.edu. And you can also attempt a carrier pigeon or a smoke signal.
Okay, but not Snapchat.
No. No. Hard pass.
What is this thing you have against Snapchat?
I'm not good at it.
She's honest, at least.
Well, there are so many platforms right now. That can get a little bit icky. There has to be one unified magic button that when you do one communication, you hit send, and it hits everything. We're not there yet.
You're on to something, though.
Yeah,
let
yeah.
me know if you need investors.
Yeah, that is the ultimate killer app. Yeah, we're going to do that. And Bethany Atwell, for anyone who wants to know, again, the down and dirty behind the many artists who you have to deal with, and particularly their handlers. Have you ever had any problems with those guys, too? Whether it's, you know, you're dealing with the agency or the talent people or all that, are they generally pretty okay?
Yeah, the agents are good.
Yeah. You're talking about road managers.
You know, we get all types of road managers. We get all types, and that's probably all I should say.
This is another publication that could be a huge revenue source for you guys. You know, the behind the scenes of Opening Nights.
Yeah, no, the funny thing is a lot of these tour managers that go on tour, you know, they get hired to do a tour. And so you might have someone that's tour managing for, I don't know, just kind of a bluegrass group that was on the road with Metallica the week before. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Their resumes, talking to some of the people. Yeah, like we had a tour manager that had done, you know, major stadium Metallica shows, and now he was running, you know, a small. It was just like whatever. I think he got pulled in last minute to do it, but they do all sorts. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's a very specific skill set that you bring to this.
Yes, detail-oriented.
Yeah.
And like Tony Bennett's tour manager who lives in Florida, his son goes to Florida State. So again, there's always this kind of connection somehow or something we always find. It's kind of fun.
And those are the kinds of things. Well, people like Kellyanne Fasano, you can leverage some of these things too, can't you?
Absolutely. That's the one thing we have is access. We can get access.
She said with a gleam in her eye. Folks, only have a couple minutes remaining in this morning's Perspectives program. And for those who have been in tune with it in whole or in part, hope this has been of some use in providing you with a generous overview of the kinds of things that we can look forward to in the 2016-2017 season of opening nights, which really the first one is towards the end of September, and then we go on from there, right?
September 14th, that's our first one. It's one of our Southern Circuit film tour screenings called Agents of Change, and it's going to be an amazing film. It'll be hitting PBS in the distant future, so why not see it with us first?
Yeah, this is almost like Roku. You know, you can get it, except it's live. You're mm-hmm. with an audience. You can enjoy this thing.
Yeah, the filmmaker too.
And how many opportunities do you get to actually interface with the person who is artistically responsible for the whole thing?
Thank you.
Chrissy Cox, Kellyanne Fasano, Bethany Atwell, Sarah Howard Bozeman, and Calla McNamara, all connected with the fabulous opening nights program that kicks off this coming month, right here in Tallahassee, continues through April 19th. Thank you guys for coming in and break a leg.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance from Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls on the interface machines. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, the surprising and frightening impact that chronic conditions like heart disease and diabetes and other long-term maladies have on the whole healthcare discussion and what it means to all of us, both as patients and payers. We'll reconnect then right here on Perspectives. Perspectives
are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.